Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. The Bird Show.
All right, Abby, it is time for ye old gossip.
Yeah, she's been called a lover, an advisor, a betrayer. But who was La Malinche really? Was she the woman who helped shape the fate of Mexico? Or is she history's most infamous backstabber?
Hear ye, hear ye. Come forth, all Instagram baddies and crypto bros, for the most salacious gossip in the whole village.
Abby's done the work to bring you
the old gossip.
You ever notice how history treats women sort of like they're on Yelp? Like, seriously, Cleopatra, 2 stars, slept with Caesar. Helen of Troy, 3 stars, too pretty, caused traffic issues in Greece. And here's La Malinche, which I'm having a really hard time pronouncing, so please give me some grace. I'm very white this morning. She's kind of the original, it's complicated, relationship status. Now, for those of you who fell asleep in history class or were on your phone Googling if your teacher was single, La Malinche was this Nahual woman in the 1500s in Mexico, and she got sold into slavery, but somehow ends up with Hernan Cortes. He's most famous and most infamous for leading the expedition that caused the fall of the Aztec Empire in what is now Mexico. So suddenly now, she's his translator, his advisor, and rumored girlfriend. Basically, the LinkedIn trifecta. Languages, consulting, and romantic services. Now, here's the thing. Depending on who you ask, she's either A genius strategist who helped shape the future of Mexico, or she is the ultimate backstabber, like if Benedict Arnold downloaded Duolingo. Now, the Aztecs called her a traitor, but think about her options. She's standing there like, okay, I can either help the dude with the horses and guns, or I can stick with the people who literally just sold me into slavery. Tough call. And Cortez, he's lucky that she was just multilingual, because imagine if she wasn't. They would be like, conquistador shows up. We claim this land for Spain. And the locals are like, we don't understand what you're saying, bro. We're going to need a translator here. And Malinche is just standing there like, sorry, dude, your Duolingo streak has expired. But she wasn't just a translator. Oh, no. She was out here whispering in Cortez's ear like a reality show producer. Psst, that guy, he secretly hates Montezuma. You need to stir the pot. But now here's the lover part. Cortez and Malinche had a son together. His name was Martin, which in a way makes her the literal mother of modern Mexico. And yet people still call her a word that I cannot say on the radio, but it's Spanish for a nickname you do not want to be called. It loosely translates to, she got a lot, wink, wink.
She got a lot?
She got a lot, wink, wink. She got screwed a lot.
She's a slut?
She's a sleuth.
No, okay. She's at range.
She's got range.
She's got range.
Which was pretty rough. But here's the twist. Modern feminists are like, hold up. Maybe she wasn't a traitor to her own people. Maybe she was just surviving. She's just a girl. Which makes sense because honestly, if I were in her shoes, I too would pick the guy with armor and horses over the people who were disposing me like a used tissue. So was she a lover, an advisor, or a betrayer? We don't really know. Maybe she's all three. Maybe she's the original multitasker. Maybe she's the reason Mexico speaks Spanish today. Or maybe she's just the first woman in history to have her situationship get wildly out of hand. Either way, I think we can all agree she deserves better than being history's 1-star Yelp review.
Well played.
Life has always been dramatic, man. It has nothing to do with social media.
Nothing.
It is.
There's always been drama. There's always been gossip. There's always been rumor. There's always been S.
For sure.
Get it. The Bird Show.
All right, so you're feeling a lot of jealous feelings these days.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know who I am, and I don't know whether or not to blame it on my perimenopause hormones, which, by the way, according to the internet, we are not referring to it as perimenopause anymore. That lovely multi-year period right before you hit menopause. Mm-hmm. Perimenopause, if you don't know, for us ladies in our mid-40s,
I'm talking about like you're starting to get the hot flashes. You're feeling the rage. You're feeling the surge of just your fluctuation of hormones. It's not perimenopause anymore. It's called cougar puberty. I'm a cougar. She's a cougar.
Cougar puberty.
They're calling perimenopause. I'm like, at least in my algorithm on Instagram, and I follow some hilarious ladies, it's no longer perimenopause, y'all. It's cougar puberty.
Okay.
It's cougarty, if you will.
Oh, my God.
Look at you. You're so proud of yourself. Look at the pride in your eyes.
So I'm in the beginning stages of cougar puberty. And I have noticed it, like, I have been very forthcoming on the show about, like, this rage, right? Like, and I've never been, like, a ragey person. I have dealt with, like, PMS and stuff like that. But, I mean, the level of rage in my body over, like, stuff, it's so disproportionate to whatever's happening. So now I have a new feeling that I don't know where it's stemming from. So I'm going to attribute it here with no clinical diagnosis whatsoever. And that is intense jealousy.
Mm.
So this has happened twice recently where my husband is talking to another woman, another woman that it should be in all senses, not deemed a threat. But for whatever reason, I feel this massive surge of jealousy.
I feel a little protective.
I am so protective of my man.
Your cougar prowess is coming out.
I don't like
in aisle 14 of Target.
Yeah, where has it been coming out?
So we were at the wedding this past weekend, and I knew like hardly anybody there because this is my husband's best friend, and it's his family, the bride's family, and the, you know, they're college buddies and stuff like that. So I literally knew one other couple really well, and that's who I was sitting with. But of course, my husband knows almost everybody there because he goes all the way back to when he was 18 in college, right? And so I was at the wedding, and my man was looking fine in his like fitted navy suit. And they opted for no ties. So he's got the white button up and it's just unbuttoned ever so slightly. And he's got his new kicks on and my man was looking good.
The chest hair peeking right above the collar like you like it. Yeah.
And so he trimmed. And
it's lingerie, but for straight women.
It's a wedding, for God's sake. And he's talking to this other woman. And it's completely like Bart is not doing anything wrong, right? He is not overstepping any bound. He's just having a conversation with an old friend. But I am sitting there in my chair. Mind you, I am several glasses of Sauvie Bee in. And I'm like, this skank. Who does she think she is? Talking to my man. And like, I am feeling.
Now you're buzzed now too.
Oh God, yes.
Okay.
And like, I am feeling this boil up. And then we're outside and we're about to do like the sparklers and everybody's saying bye. And he's talking to her again. And I'm sitting on a bench. And I'm
this
like,
this guy.
I'm like, no, I'm not mad at him. Because my man is hot. He deserves attention. It's her. I am like, everything is targeted at her. And I'm like, who do you think you are over there talking to my man like that? I mean, you in like these extended conversations, you look like you're getting a little too friendly. I need you to back them up before I come at you like a spider monkey. And I'm sitting there like, where is this coming from?
Not like a spider monkey, like a cougar.
Like a cougar. And I really think it might be my cougar puberty that's causing me to feel all these feels and so intensely because it's not been like, it was like that in the very beginning of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And then you are comfortable and you are settled and everything's fine. And again, I do not think my husband is going to step out on me, right? It is so bizarre to me that he's sitting there looking fine and talking to this woman. And I'm just like, I'm about to come over there and just jab you in the jejunum and you're not going to know what hits you.
In the what?
What's a jejunum?
And your jejunum. Did you never see Tropic Thunder? No, it wasn't Tropic Thunder. It was the Will Ferrell basketball movie, Semi-Pro.
Yeah.
You can't even remember the name and we're supposed to remember jejunum?
Yes, it was the movie Semi-Pro. And he punched him in the jejunum.
Yeah!
You're on The Bert Show.
As I'm looking down at the schedule right now and I just now realize what Mikey's going to talk about, I have no defense. I have absolutely no, I didn't even realize this until I saw the words. I have no defense.
I was cackling watching the schedule yesterday. I was like, I can't believe that this is an actual story that Mikey pitched.
I love that he pitched it. And you better believe the moment I saw it, it's going on the schedule.
I love that you pitched it. I can't believe it's a reality.
It's legit.
Me neither.
And it's accurate. And I apologize even before you tell everybody.
Go ahead, Mikey. What are you here to express?
Well, I wasn't planning on coming out of the gates confrontational here because I thought maybe it's possible this is some kind of strategic move he's doing. But as it turns out, I'm the only person on the Bert Show staff that Bert forgot to tell that the show is ended.
I am so sorry. I mean, I had meetings with each and every one of the Bert Show members individually, sometimes as a group also, and I didn't call you.
Trust me, I was waiting for the call. I'm still waiting for the call, actually.
Well, would you like to tell him now, Bert?
What's happening?
I mean, it turns out that while you'll still be at the station after October 24th, none of us will.
Oh, okay. I guess that would have been helpful to know a couple weeks ago. So,
sincerely, Mikey, did you find out Bert was retiring the day he made the announcement on air?
No, I was having a phone call with your business manager, Amy, and she mentioned something like, well, the show's not going to be around that much longer. And I was like, what? What are you talking about?
That's an insane thing to say on a Tuesday afternoon.
I kind of just held my tongue and started picking pieces up from everybody. And I'm like, is the show ending? What's going on? And then we had this big meeting with all of Cumulus where you broke the news to the whole office. And you said on the call that the last person that you called is Amber. And I was sitting there like, what about me?
That is absolutely true, and I have absolutely no defense for it. I mean, I put a list together, and your name just didn't make the cut list.
Do you know that, well, number one, I make up 13% of your employees. You couldn't have made a little list, maybe?
There is a list. It's at thebertshow.com/meetthecast.
You know, we live in this society of perfection. I got most of it right.
You know,
I just missed one.
Every single scenario ran through my head. I'm like, why would he not tell me? What kind of strategy is this? What does he have up his sleeve? Something's got to happen here. Nope, he just forgot, I guess.
So what'd you do? Start calling people and going, hey, Jackson, have you heard blankety blank, blank, blank?
Well, I had to get information from people without their consent. So I'd be like, you know, the show's ending. And then they'd be like, how do you know that? And I'd be like, yeah, I knew it was true. I knew that was
real. We got baited.
And there was such a sense of relief that I felt. And I was so proud. Like, I covered everybody. The last one was going to be Amber because she's just more emotional than anybody else. So I lined everybody up. And I'm like, I know I'm going to be on the phone longer with Amber than anybody else because she's going to be a hot mess. And didn't even think to put you on. I am so sorry.
Did
man.
You do them all in one day? How'd you do it?
Oh, no. It was over the course of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
It was a well thought out and devised plan.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to miss anybody.
Listen, it's The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
J.K. Rowling is firing back at Emma Watson for a recent interview she did with Jay Shetty, where she is criticizing Emma for criticizing or just talking about J.K. Rowling in general. So if you don't know about their history, obviously J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series, Emma Watson was one of the leads in the series. And J.K. Rowling has some controversial opinions on transgender issues, which Emma Watson fiercely opposes. So in this recent interview with Jay Shetty, she was asked about her relationship to J.K. Rowling now and her opinion on her as a person. And Emma actually had some pretty kind things to say about J.K. Rowling in general, but said that she kind of has a hard time balancing her two opinions. Like, she knows J.K. Rowling as a person, mm-hmm. but she also knows the views that she holds that go against hers, and that it's been a complicated thing for her to handle.
I can love her. I can know she loved me. I can be grateful to her. I can know the things that she said are true. And that can be this whole other thing. And my job feels like to just hold all of it. But the bigger thing is just what she's done will never be taken away from me.
So basically, she's appreciative for what she got as an actress from her, but that she just doesn't agree with her. And J.K. Rowling, in response, put out a nearly 700 character post on social media, basically saying that Emma Watson is, quote, ignorant of how ignorant she is, and suggests that Emma Watson's privileged upbringing has kept her insulated from real world struggles, particularly around women's rights.
Am I crazy in thinking that I thought Emma Watson handled that really well?
Yeah, she took the high road.
Yeah, I mean, everything is not one note. It's a symphony of chaos. It's layered, and you can appreciate somebody for certain things, but you can also disagree and have like this compartmentalization.
Well, I mean, this is a classic example of what's going on everywhere right now, is that we can have two different opinions and we're going to name call and we're going to be so divisive that we're not actually going to listen to the person and have dialogue. We're just going to separate it and we're going to insult them. Emma Watson is 35 years old. J.K. Rowling is 60. She just seems like a real bee to me.
Yeah, and it's just when you listen to what Emma said, I've always loved Emma because she's so educated, and I feel like she takes such a stance for women's rights and things that she, you know, does in her life. She's very much an activist. And really, to have to muddle through that, because they would have met J.K. Rowling when they were kids. That franchise gave them their life and launched them into this celebrity status. So it has to feel weird when someone that you've loved says something that you consider so heinous, and that you're like, I just can't marry the two. And so to sit there and be like, I have to hold space for both, essentially, like, she is this, I can know these things, but I can also recognize this is true. It really was the most beautiful way to address that. And for J.K. Rowling to fire back and sort of like, try to cut her down like that, it just shows to me that J.K. Rowling is not in a place where she's able to have educational and fact-based debates, and rather goes for, when someone attacks the character rather than addressing the issue, you know they've already lost.
Sometimes maturity has nothing to do with age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because clearly the more mature person here is Emma Watson.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling is basically saying, I feel compelled to speak publicly because they have spoken so publicly about me. So she just kind of feels like, I guess it's tit for tat. Like, if you're going to say something, I'm going to say something. And then that's my opinion. On a much lighter note, Bert actually sent me an article about this yesterday, to which I, of course, had to kind of roll my eyes at, because Sydney Sweeney is once again dating another questionable man in Hollywood. I don't know how you feel about commenting about this, because I know you have a personal relationship to this man, but it is alleged that Sydney Sweeney is in a relationship with Scooter Braun, who of course is my personal nemesis, because he's a nemesis of my close personal friend Taylor Swift. But Sydney Sweeney recently held a party that she and Scooter Braun were photographed at, and a lot of people think this is confirmation that they're in a relationship.
I no longer have a personal relationship with Scooter. He's cut me off. So I can say, it does seem weird. It seems like a strange pairing to me. What I was thinking, though, is maybe she's looking for a dude that is older, has seen the industry on so many different levels, and that's very appealing to her, rather than date other... How old is she?
She's my age. She just turned 28.
Cassie and I literally did the same Google right now, because we pulled up how old is Scooter Braun.
Because he's 44, right?
Yeah, he's 44, because it was her 20th birthday, which was a star-studded affair.
Oh my God, everybody was there. It was more star-studded than Selena Gomez's wedding.
Yeah, I mean, freaking Bezos and Lauren Sanchez were there.
Yeah, I could see her attraction to him in this way, that he's seen everything in the industry and she's trying to date guys that are 28 years also. And he just did a podcast. Was it with Jay Shetty or Steve Bartlett?
I think it was Diary of a CEO.
All right. Steve Bartlett was so good. And he's just gone through such like this time in his life where he's looked at everything over his life and how he's handled it. And he does come off like he's really grown and knows who he is. And that's going to be very appealing to a 28-year-old woman.
There is no way, even if I were Sydney Sweeney, that I would want to follow in the footsteps of a Yael Cohen Braun, who is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, who is a CEO and a badass in her own right. I'd be like, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to pick someone else.
Also, I'm Sydney Sweeney. I'm 28. I'm hot. I'm successful. I'm rich. I want to date someone also young, hot, successful, and rich. I'm not saying that Scooter Braun wasn't those things at one point. I'm just saying I would find myself a Jacob Elordi of some sort.
I saw the photo of her and Glenn Powell at her birthday, which was like a space themed, and she was wearing the dress that Britney Spears wore in the circus video or circus promotional art. It was a huge to do. But that picture of her and Glenn Powell, they're like the perfect couple.
Again, young, hot, and successful. Make couples hot again. I'm sick of getting nauseous every time I see photos of you and your dusty-ass boyfriend. All right, for more stories, head to the Bert Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
This is
The Bird Show.